Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, have been for several months now. And we're in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 4, and there are 34 verses in this chapter. Plus we have a translation from King James, and then also some commentary. And then this is part 7 of dealing with the spirit. I'm talking about the spirit that's in your body, the human spirit. And then we have a couple of letters here, one from Pennsylvania and the other one from Africa, of people that witness that souls are saved through the literature that the Lord gives me. I'm cooperating with the Lord, and when anyone cooperates with the Lord can use you. But anyone that is defiant or does not cooperate with the Lord, there's no way that God can use you any more than you could use an employee that would do the exact opposite or wouldn't do anything that you say. And so we are to be what the Lord wants us to be. Otherwise, there's no Spirit of God on our life, and our spirit is not able to know what to do one way or the other as far as spiritual matters are concerned. But right now, let's all go up to the throne of the Lord to ask him to anoint this service. Now, the Bible says, Father God, you said it, that the actual letter of the Word of God, your Word, kills. And therefore, it needs to be taught in the spirit, and it has to be received, because it has to be received in the spirit. And if it is in, if there are carnal people that are reading the scriptures in a carnal way, and without the anointing of the word, then it's very, no one would be able to receive it. And when people can't receive something, it has a killing effect. But your word is to be spoken in the spirit and to be received in the spirit, in the mind, in the heart, in the soul. Otherwise, we would not be able to love you as your first commandment tells us to do, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Now, a lot of people today, Father, are saying we need to join in with all the false religions in the world, and even Satan-worshipping groups. And by doing so, this will bring peace on earth. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to see all the different Satan-worshipping groups, and the Buddhists, and the Muslims, and many other satanic, unchristian groups that the Pope wants Christians to unite for Christians to unite with. Lord, this is the great movement of Antichrist, the body of Antichrist, which is spoken of in your word in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Many former Christians are receiving this satanic doctrine. It's obvious that when the Pope is preaching, and all the popes preach the New World Order, the New World Order is the very same New World Order that Hitler spoke of. That we have to, anybody that is against uniting with false Christianity, which is Catholicism, and all the other false religions, and secularism, and one worldism, anyone that joins with them, doesn't join with them, they feel is the enemy, and that's why they feel that the Bible is totally against this satanic movement that we see in the world today. They say that if the Christians would just join with Satan worshipers and all the false religions, that there'd be peace on earth, and that's why the Lord says, when they are saying these things, and that's exactly what they're saying in the news, in the supposed to be Christian radio stations. You say that when they start preaching this, then will come sudden destruction. There's be no peace on this earth until you, the Prince of Peace, comes. Now, your word tells everyone to be separate from all this, from witchcraft, Satan worshiping, from all false religions, to be separate and holy. And your word also states that there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. And we can't unite with other religions or Satan worshipers that say the exact opposite, that say that Jesus was only a man instead of a God-man, that say that he was just a good man. If he was a good man, then why do they renounce the fact, Father, that he wasn't the Son of God when Jesus said that I am the Lord, I am God? The book of Revelations, you say, Jesus, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Almighty. And all the scriptures point to you as being the Almighty God. In Isaiah, Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Holy Father. So people, Christians all over the world, have to know that this movement that's going on, this New World Order, is actually Satan's second and last attempt to put together a homogenized one world religion where everyone, including Satan worshipers, supposedly will get along together. But we're not to have any part of darkness, of Satan. You said, Jesus, that Satan has no part in you. So, Father God, we ask that you anoint. The only way that we're going to be able to stay out of this is that we receive your word into our spirits. Your word is your spirit, and it is your life. We, in order to have your life, your eternal life, must give up our life so that your life will live in us. If we decide to live our lives out in this world, then your life will not abide in us, will not live in us, and will not be able to live in you. And there's no alternative. Either you go to heaven or you go to hell. And if you don't, we don't do everything you say, then we're not a friend of yours. You say, whosoever, anyone that does, if you do everything I say, then you are my friend. You are my friend if you do everything that I tell you. So, and we are not your friend if we don't do everything you tell us to do. So, Lord, give us life. The Bible, your word, is not to be just heard and received as intellectual matter, but it's meant for us to read it, to do it. So, Lord, we ask that you fill our mind with your word, your spirit, which is spirit and life, and our spirits. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's hear the two letters, Jeannie. The first one is from someplace in Pennsylvania. Where is that?
Houtzdale, Houtzdale.
Houtzdale, okay. Then what? Go ahead, read it.
Dear Pastor Alamo, first of all, praise the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now first in my life. I would also like to thank you for the literature you have sent out to some of the brothers here. For a long time, I lived the life of a Muslim. That's the way I was raised. My whole family are Muslim except for me now. One day, while sitting on my block, I noticed your newsletter someone left on the table, so I picked it up and started reading it. I never picked up a Bible before in my life until after reading your newsletter and the prayer you had on the back. As I was reading it, I felt strange, but it had some powerful stuff in there. and everything you were talking about, I could find it in the Bible.
That powerful stuff is God's life. Amen?
Amen.
So it's really, if you want to call God's life stuff, well, then you can, but it's really good stuff. Amen? Amen? Then what?
So after I read the newsletter, I went to a Christian brother and asked how I could become a Christian. At the same time, I was still holding your newsletter in my hand, and he noticed your prayer. So he and I both read the newsletter and prayer, and that's when I turned my life over to Christ. I felt so much joy. I was hoping you could send me a nice Bible that I can take with me when I'm released from here, so I have one when I go to church on the outside. Pastor Alamo, I understand from your newsletter that you provide room and board for those who truly want to serve the Lord, and I do.
Right, not only want to serve the Lord, but keep all the regulations and rules of this church. Every place has rules and regulations. Even if you went to work for McDonald's or Wendy's or some tire company or any, every place has rules and regulations. Any government job has lots of rules and regulations. And what we do is far more important than what the government does. And so, you know, we have top rules and regulations, and if they're not observed, then no one can stay here. It doesn't make any difference if people don't want to keep the rules of the church. I could care less if anyone is here, because I know that Elijah didn't have a lot of people running around with him, or John the Baptist, or Jesus only had 12, so I'm not interested in just housing a bunch of people. If you really want to keep the commandments of the Lord, then one of them is to obey those that have the rule over you. And if you do that, if you obey the rules here, because we want to have a standard, keep a standard for every young Christian that comes into the church. And if one person is not doing what everybody else is doing, then they're saying that they're above the rules, above the law of this place. Or you would be above the law of the government if you were working for an atomic bomb factory and you just went into every department that you had no business going into. Or if you were working in a rubber tire company or something, or GM, General Motors, or you have to stay where you are put, okay, until you earn your way up. When you earn your way up, people see how you perform on the particular job that you're given, and if you do that well, then any good leader would immediately move you up to some other position. But if you're defiant in the position that you have, you're not going to be in the church long. There'll be patience on you, but not to doubtful disputations or saying that you're not going to keep the rules. You will have gone too far if you say something like that. Yes, it's not only room and board, but we provide everything that you need. Not everything that you want, but everything that you need. Even medical or dental or clothing, transportation, all sorts of things. That is, if you're zealous on fire and you're not defiant against God and the rules. Okay? Anyone that's defiant against the God and the rules and taking direction from leadership, you're not welcome here. All right? And this is what a lot of the older Christians don't seem to tell some of these people that want to move in. And this is what I want everybody in the church to do, is to tell people this, because if you don't, we're going to have maybe a million freeloaders come over here and begin using this place for a crash pad. We've had people come in here and try to start their own businesses and open their post office boxes, set up phones and everything. No, you won't do that here, because you have to divorce yourself completely from the world and from everything if you really want to serve the Lord. That's what the Bible says that we must do. And that's the way it is. We screen all your books that you bring in, and you can't have any books. You're not going to be privy to some of the damnable doctrines on radios and televisions. Well, that's all cut out. We have television sets in certain places that we play certain movies. It's just like they will not, in the Vatican, play my literature or read my literature. Well, we don't read their stuff in this church, or doctrine, false doctrine. I'm not open to give you free course to do something like that or to do what you say you want to do. That isn't the way it is. When somebody just wants to make that clear, you have to leave. Okay, so I just want to clarify that. That's a real, you know, really a statement that needs to be qualified, and that's what I'm doing, is qualifying that statement. And there's much more. We have an orientation letter. There's no pornography, no contraband, no guns, no weapons of any kind. No narcotics, no drugs, no alcohol, nothing like that. And that's why, and you must be with another Christian while you're here for the first few months. And then even after that, the Apostle Paul traveled with another person or other people, and so did every disciple. And that's the way it is here too. Now, of course, if you don't like that, well, then just don't move in. That's very easy, amen? I might as well get it straight, because some people want bus money to come here and bus money to go back, and I don't want to be fooling with that. You really have to be sincere if you want to serve the Lord to move in here. Okay, and then what?
You just don't know how much I love Jesus. I just sit in my cell praising his name every day.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people say they praise Jesus. But when it comes to doing what he says, that doesn't—they don't necessarily do that. Amen. I hear all kinds of people on television and radio saying, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and yet when you tell them the actual truth of Jesus, they don't like him because they don't believe that that's the Word of God. But I'd like to remind everybody that hears this tape that you have the Bible to check everything that I'm saying. And if you find that it's not in the Bible, I'll eat the Bible without salt and pepper, or without pick a pepper sauce or ketchup, mustard, whatever. Okay? Because what I'm telling you is the truth. And I'm telling you what Jesus said and what the Bible says and what I've learned through experience. Okay? Then what else?
Thank you again for putting out your newsletter. Thank you. May God bless you always. Sincerely yours, A.N. from Houtsdale, Pennsylvania.
Well, I know the Lord will bless me always, because he told me, put the literature out or you'll be destroyed. That means that God is, in a sense, threatening my me, that if my conduct isn't... He said, if I put out the literature, I will not be destroyed. So he's threatening me by saying, so this is the kind of God we have, if you do what I tell you, you'll be fine. But if you don't, you'll be destroyed. Now that'll be my own doing. If I do what the Lord says, I'll be fine. If I don't, I myself, in my defiance against God, will be destroyed. So we have a free will. He said, go ahead and do it if you want to, but you're going to be destroyed. Don't put out the literature, and you're going to be destroyed. Do what I tell you, and you'll be blessed. Don't do what I tell you, and you'll be cursed. All right, and then where's the next letter from, Jeannie?
From the Congo Democratic Republic, Africa. I have the badge of honor to come to you this first time to introduce my request to your community. I would like to let you know for your own management that I am a Christian, and that through your monthly world newsletter, many people have believed who have all pushed me to write to you. For I want to know more about your church and if my request retains your particular attention...
If you want to know more about my church, read the Bible, because I believe exactly the way the Lord has written, His Word says. Then you'll know all about me. All right?
Yes.
If you learn about Jesus, then believe what I believe, because I don't believe anything other than what Jesus says. And the prophets, Moses, the prophets, Jesus and the apostles, all right? I believe that. Old and New Testament, that's my doctrine. Okay, then what?
And if my request retains your particular attention for a response worthy of acknowledgement...
Well, that's my response. And then what?
I thank you in advance. Would you accept, dear pastor, the assurance of my profound, very distinguished gratitude, and may God Almighty fill you, J.M., Congo Democratic Republic, Africa.
The Lord does fill me all the time, and so I appreciate that prayer and your good wishes, and may the Lord fill you also. Okay, then what? All right, Sharon, now let's get into 1 Kings chapter 4 with its 34 verses.
Solomon's different officials he has to govern for him.
Okay, Solomon appointed, so it's a new regime now. There were some bad people in David's administration. And so David, in the chapter before, in chapter 3, instructed his son to destroy the bad ones. And so Solomon got rid of some of all the bad ones, and then appointed new people to that he gave certain authority for certain things. Now, some people that are not mature, you give them any kind of authority at all, and they get so big-headed that they think they have the authority to just run the entire lot of different areas in the church that you never gave them any authority to do, nor did the Lord give them the authority. And so people have to watch it. Some people, you can tell them that they play the trumpet good, and they get so big-headed that you can't hardly keep them on the ground. If they get any more puffed up, they're liable to explode, and you'd have to scrape them off the walls. Some people, you say they're great, good drummers. You drum pretty good. And they just, to them, nobody else can drum but them in the world. And all you're doing is just trying to encourage them a little bit. Not to get them all puffed up. That isn't the reason for it. Or if you tell somebody, because maybe you can tell that they don't get complimented much. Oh, that's a nice shirt you got on today. Or you got your hair combed good today. Well, they all of a sudden they start thinking they're Greta Garbo. Or, it's Gloria Swanson or somebody. Or Marilyn Monroe. Or, and really... They just live in an imagination, in an imaginary world, and they just get a pipe dream. So there's some people that you can't compliment at all. Otherwise, they go completely berserk. Berserk. And we don't want that to happen. And so a lot of people say, well, he never or she never says nice things about me. Well... There's people in the church that are so prone to being puffed up over really, nothing. And yet there are others that get accolades of, through all over the world. Such as I get all kinds of accolades, but my God, I'm a lowly type person. I mean, it isn't that some people think that I'm arrogant, but I mean... It isn't arrogance to be confident in the Lord. I know that I'm confident that His Word is true. Some people don't have any confidence in that regard whatsoever. But yet they have confidence in themselves. If you tell them, oh, those are nice shoes, all of a sudden they're walking on a cloud. But you don't mention the unmentionables. Because then they'd be destroyed because what you say about them or think about them, their whole life spins on that. Instead of forgetting who they are And it just say, you know, I'm a vessel of the Lord, who they are physically. But they should think of themselves as spiritually a member of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And then there's no chance, and just concentrate on the Lord and other souls, to win souls. Then there wouldn't be any chance for you to fall away, to be puffed up. So, you know, some people you just can't, or you sing good. Oh, all of a sudden they're Florence Nightingale or somebody, you know. And really, they're not. They just sing a certain song pretty good. It's, you know, if you just really want to rate them from 1 to 10, they're fair. Okay? Now you say, oh, you're just hurting people. And what about yourself? Well, I never said I was Mario Lanza or Enrico Caruso or anything like that. Just, you know, and it wouldn't make any difference if I was, because I've been through all that, and I know, you know, that there's nothing in us. It's just supposed to be the Spirit of the Lord in you. And I know if you're puffed up that it isn't the Spirit of the Lord. That's your own spirit, contaminated spirit, that's acting up. All right? And that needs to be mortified. You need to put the cross to it. You need to let the Holy Spirit take power and dominion over your flesh and your spirit. Because you're not as big of a hot shot as you thought you were. There are a lot of people in this world that were hot shots in the past. And they never thought that the world could go on without them. But there they are down in the cemetery. If you want to go and observe their graves, we went when we were in Hollywood to the Hollywood Memorial Hall Cemetery, and we looked at the tomb of Rudolph Valentino, who was just worshipped. But he's dead, and has been dead for a long time, and a Tyrone Power has been dead for a long time. And we had a whole list that I had him read one day on the one of our tapes. Gloria Swanson, Mae Murray, Pola Negra, and all the different ones that died this year, just recently. Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, Frank Sinatra, not Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra, and name some of the other ones that recently have died. Ronald Reagan. Huh?
Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson.
Johnny Cash.
Huh?
Marlon Brando.
Who?
Marlon Brando.
Yeah, Marlon Brando. These were all hot shots. Amen? But the world is still spinning without him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you weren't as big as a hot shot in the physical world as they were, so you ought to just, you know, come back down to earth, all right? And if you died, the majority of the people in the world would never miss you. They wouldn't even know you were here. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I don't know why the Lord is having me talk about things like this. It must be that a lot of people are puffed up. And they also think that being called into the ministry is going to be like a cushiony, kick back yourself and live a cushioned life. That isn't at all what it's like. You have to read the Bible and see the kind of life that the real prophets and Jesus lived and the disciples. And that's the real world. Amen?
Amen.
Not you people got to think you've got it real cushiony. A lot of people in this church are sleeping on $1,000 mattresses. Air conditioning and heating units. Those boys didn't have any of that. Amen?
Amen?
Or carpet on their floors. A lot of them lived in caves and slept on the ground. And God never called you to be cushioned and everything, or to, like these people say, that they should have brand new cars, automobiles, go out and have fun, get new mansions and things. This is what it's all about. He didn't call you into a cushioned life. Now, if God gives somebody something like that, it shouldn't go to your head, because everything in this world is temporary. You're not going to have it long anyway. And you're not going to take it into heaven with you. you have to have designer glasses, designer this or that, or I don't like the way this, I need eye contact lenses, and so many things that missions of the Lord cannot afford. And people need to back off. They're asking for all kinds of things on the needs list that they don't need. And a lot of them, most of them don't deserve. Okay, but there are people in the church that are here to take advantage of something. They don't really serve the Lord, but they just take advantage of the one of the Lord and those that serve the Lord. They're living on someone else's blessings. Ask them to do something and they're just always too tired. Or if they're not concerned about anything or anybody but themselves. But anyway, let's continue on here with 1 Kings, fourth chapter.
King James Version, verse 1. So King Solomon was king over all Israel.
Yeah, and we're kings over all the world. But it's not us, because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and because of the fact that he lives in us, qualifies him, because if we're dead, if we're mortified, then it's only him doing the work. Paul said that he did more work than all the other apostles put together, yet it wasn't him, it was Jesus that did it. So therefore, there is a king in this world that's living, incarnate again. Jesus is living in our flesh. Again, the power of God, God is living in our bodies, in the flesh. And if he's not, you're not allowing him to rule, you're not letting him rule the way he wants to rule or do the things that he wants to do in your body, but you just want to be cushioned and taken care of. And you're just, eat sumptuously and be comfortable, then you're not the same caliber as Jesus or any of the apostles or the prophets. You're a user. You're not a giver. And those that are of the Lord are givers. They're like their Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's enough that you are like your master. You're not going to surpass him. And certainly, because of the things that you own or have, that isn't, I have more than Jesus, many people must say in their hearts. Or Solomon, no matter how rich he was, he didn't have this car or these kind of vans or this kind of air conditioning and heating system. In the kind of clothes we have, and he didn't eat as sumptuously as we do, nor did he have all these other things that we have today that they didn't have. And so we have to watch it, because many people fall away when they're rich, okay? Because in comparison to him, you're rich. The average person today has more than these people did. And I think it's gone to a lot of people's heads. Because you don't see many people carrying the cross. You don't see many people that look to me that they're representing Jesus, the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But by virtue of the Lord living and working in a person, which that doesn't happen with everybody in the church, in churches or gathering places, because you're supposed to be the church. But if you were of the Lord, by virtue of him living in you, then you're ruling this world. Not ruling somebody that God put over you, or not communicating to the other employees of God. There's a preacher on the television that says the ruler is the person that is the employer. And the rest of you are employees, or you're supposed to be. And instead of reporting things to the employer, the employees are talking back and forth to one another, passing false statements to each other. And they don't realize they're employees. And who employs us? but the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and who's the one that made the employer in charge and put them in charge? The employer put this person in charge and put all the other ones under them. Okay, because you can't have two different opinions. You can't have the Lord's opinion and your opinion and be a part of the work of God. So you have to humble yourself and place yourself under those that rule. Because if you don't, you're going to be in a lot of trouble, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
So be careful, because a lot of you people are out of order. And especially in other churches. Because I hear other churches giving people such freedom that they've put them back into the hands of the prison of Satan. They say, forgive your wife if she commits adultery. Forgive her? Well, where does it say that in the Bible? If she's saved and she commits adultery, that you're supposed to forgive her? That isn't what Jesus said. Jesus says the exact opposite, but because of the fact that these people today are saying we all have to join together. So we have all these false religions that say, yes, they're pagan religions, which they all believe in adultery and fornication and do your own thing. And certain people like Joyce Meyer says, come on, enjoy yourself today. Go out and enjoy yourself. And she'll say a lot of truths. But then she'll say something like that when the Lord is saying, take up the cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Amen?
Amen.
But they're saying, no, enjoy yourself. T.D. Jakes is telling you, go to Broadway. Now, if you go to New York and you don't go to Broadway plays and go to some of the different bistros, that you haven't seen New York. Don't be saying that you have seen New York or live there. I saw New York. I went to Broadway shows when I was unsaved, and I went to bistros, I went to, you know, the Copa. I used to haunt those places, Basin Street East and all the different jazz joints down in the Greenwich Village. And all over, I knew all the best places, the Brasserie to have desserts, to China. If we're going to eat Chinese tonight, we go to Chinatown. We're going to eat Italian today, we go to a little Italy. If we're going to have dessert, let's go to the Brasserie and get some flambéed fried bananas with all the different things in them. Well, you never heard talk like this, have you? You really, a lot of people really haven't been through the things that I have. I've been through all those. I had enough money to do whatever I wanted to do before I got saved. And you haven't. And so therefore, many people that haven't been through all that, they lust for it. There's lust in their heart because they say, oh, God, you know, I'd like to try the world. And so that's exactly what some of these people are teaching. Go out and try the world. Jesus wants you to, you know, live that up. I just heard a commercial for her program today. She says, get out and live it up. But my message is the same as the Lord's. He says, take up the cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be kicking back like you're in some kind of a luxury hotel. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord never said, you know, for you to go to the Waldorf Astoria and stay there. Amen?
Amen.
He said you might have to live in a cave. Are you prepared for that? Are you preparing your heart for sorrow? Because we're living in the time at the beginning of the sorrows of this world, and the plagues are coming down. And if we do what the Lord says, he's going to spare us from the plagues that he's going to be throwing down on earth pretty soon. So let's continue on with chapter 4 here. I don't know why the Lord is telling me to go on this. No, but I know that it's the Lord telling me to do it. Can you sense that?
Yes.
Good. All right. Then what?
Verse 2. And these were the princes which he had, Azariah, the son of Zadok, the priest.
Right, because Azariah was faithful to him. That's why you don't put somebody that's unfaithful to you, you know, if it's a woman or, you know, you're married to, you don't put her in bed with you. The Bible says you give due benevolence to her if it's due her. Amen?
Amen.
Why would you have relationships with some woman that isn't faithful to what you want her to do in the ministry that you know that the Lord is telling you to tell her to do? They just have their own will, their own way, and they use their will instead of the will of the Lord. Okay? Isn't that magnificent or magnanimous?
Magnificent.
It's magnificent that they do what they want to?
No.
That's magnanimous. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? Okay, go ahead.
Verse 3. Eliho-Reph and Ahiah, the sons of Shisha, scribes, Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, the recorder.
So these guys are faithful. Why am I going to put some person that wanders off the property or wanders here or there to be the recorder? To keep all the records? What, are you crazy? I'm not that kind of guy, and neither was Solomon. The Bible says Solomon is wise, amen?
Amen.
And he's the wisest of all kings. Except the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in you, then you have the wisdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Not just the wisdom of carnal kings. Okay, then what else?
Verse 4. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the host.
Yeah, and Benaiah was over the host. That means he's the commander of the army, the host of the army of David, David's army, Israel's army. Because he's a fighting man, and he'd get out there and fight. There are many men in the Bible that were powerful other than Samson. Samson wasn't the only powerful man in the Bible. There's some that have killed, slain thousands. Amen?
Amen.
Samson was no doubt a very powerful man, but only when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And Zadok and Abiathar were the priests.
Right, because they were faithful to David when his sons tried to take over. They stood with David. Okay, that's the kind of guy I trust. I don't trust any fly-by-night or somebody that's speaking to the employees rather than me, the one that God put as the employer. Okay? You report things to me. We had Anna Moan. She picks up the phone and calls Los Angeles and talks to the employees over there about something that's very important to me instead of calling to me. And then I analyze it and ask the Lord what to do with it, and then I call. I do the calling. You employees are not to do my job. I don't want to do your job, and you shouldn't want to do mine. All right?
Amen.
And that's the way every church should be. But you've got a lot of wishy-washy Caspers that are running churches today, and they are very quickly taking on the spirit of Antichrist. They don't run their churches according to the Word of God, like I do. Okay, then what?
Verse 5. And Azariah, the son of Nathan, was over the officers. And Zabud, the son of Nathan, was principal officer and the king's friend.
Yeah, now Nathan, he's that prophet that came and stood up to David. Amen?
Amen.
He told him, yeah, this was you that committed adultery and killed this man. Amen?
Amen.
Now that's the guy I want on my team, somebody that's brutally honest. Amen?
Amen.
That would come in my face and tell me if I did something wrong. And I'm that kind of a person. If you're doing something wrong, I'll come to tell you. Okay? If you don't repent, if you just keep usurping authority like Anna Moan does and many others, you'll hear me from time to time mentioning their names on radio. And we're going on international radio the 1st of May. Okay, then what?
Verse 6. And Ahishar was over the household, and Adoniram, the son of Abda, was over the tribute.
The tribute. Over the money. He held the money bags. All right, then what?
Verse 7. And Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel, which provided victuals for the king and his household. Each man, his month, in a year, made provision.
Okay, now, because of the fact that the Lord is... let's go to the translation now.
Solomon's different officials he has to govern him. Translation verse 1 through...
No, to govern for him.
To govern for him.
Not to govern him.
I'm sorry.
He is to be governing them.
Yes, sir.
Okay. They govern for him. They do what he says. Or else he has one of his... He will have Benaiah put a blade in between their fifth rib, like he did the others. Of course, today we don't do that. We just merely put them out of the church. We don't have weapons or carnal weapons at all. We just believe in the Lord. Amen. He's the one that does the vengeance. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Translation verse 1. So Solomon was king over all Israel. Verse 2. And there were his high officials. Azariah, son of Zadok, was the priest. Verse 3. Elihor and Ahiah, the sons of Shisha, were court secretaries. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was the loyal historian. Verse 4. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was commander of the army. Zadok and Abiathar were the priests. Verse 5. Azariah, son of Nathan, presided over district governors. Zabud, son of Nathan, a priest, was a trusted advisor to the king. Verse 6. Ahishar was manager of palace affairs. Adoniram, son of Abda, was in charge of the labor force.
Okay, so, you know, a lot of people say, you know, when you're telling us the things about the Lord, we don't feel the Spirit. Well, the Bible, you know, doesn't tell you that you have to feel anything. It just says obey. Amen?
Amen.
Obey the Word. Because if you're waiting for feelings, I've seen people weep watching Pinocchio. Amen? And Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, or Bambi, you know, when the mother got killed. Right? And they just feel this Spirit. You got some feelings there. Amen? But we don't walk by feelings, amen? We walk by faith, amen?
Amen.
Not by sight, right?
Amen.
Okay, so, I mean, this is like you say, I don't get this wonderful feeling like when I'm watching Bambi. Right, this is not Bambi, amen?
Okay.
This is not Cinderella or the Tooth Fairy or anything like that. This is the Word of God, and you're to receive it by faith, right?
Amen.
Bambi's mother was killed. Now, I know you're feeling more emotions over this, some of you, than you would the gospel or when Jesus was killed. I mean, you know, I see people watching the crucifixion, you know, on different stories, and they're just sitting there watching. But, when Bambi's mother got killed, oh, my God, there's such sobbing. I mean, I've never heard anything like it in my life. And it's nothing but a fairy tale. Amen?
Amen.
Or Pinocchio. Oh, when he was turned into a little boy, how what people wept for joy. Okay, then what?
Verse 7. Solomon also had 12 district governors who were over all Israel. They were responsible for providing food for the people from the king's household. Each of them arranged provisions for 1 month of the year. Verse 8. Do I keep going?
Yeah, keep going, because we're running a little short on time, a little short.
These are the names of the 12 governors. Ben-Hur in the hill country of Ephraim, verse 9. Ben-Decker in Mechaz, Shelbim, Beth-Shemesh, and Elon-Beth-Hanan, verse 10. Ben-Hesed in Aruboth, including Soko and all the land of Hefer, verse 11. Ben-Abinadab in Napath-Dor, bracket, he was married to Tapath, one of Solomon's daughters, and bracket, verse 12, Baana, son of Ahilud, in Taanach, and Megiddo, all of Bethshan, near Zartana, below Jezreel, and all the territory from Bethshan to Abel-Meholah, and over to Jokneam, verse 13.
You know, I've seen a lot of ministries before. Rex Humbard, you know, he had a big ministry, and he used to come over to my house all the time. and visit with Sue and myself. And I think he was a distant relative of Susie's. And one day when Susie was very ill in Tulsa, I mean, still, even after Susie died, he used to come and visit me and wanted me to do some things with him. And one day on television, I was watching the TV, because the news, and they had Rex Humbard on there. They were interviewing him, and they said, "Rex, is there any other way to get into the kingdom of heaven rather than with through Jesus?" He said, "Oh, yes, there are many ways. You can get there through Buddha, and you can get there through this." And I says, there's no more French. I don't even want to know this guy anymore. And he did call me afterwards and wanted me to meet with him in some harbor town in Los Angeles, down by the beach. And because he had a house down there that he wanted to sell to the church. And he told me, "Tony, you better stop talking the way you do about, you know, just explaining all the scriptures. Because if you do that, nobody's going to be at your funeral." I said, "Rex, what are you, crazy or something? What's the matter with you? What do I care who's at my funeral? All I care is that the Lord is going to be there to take me up into the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
But if you withhold the truth from people, you better worry about you. Maybe you're going to have a lot of people there, like Buddhists and Muslims and all these other people, but Jesus is not going to be there to take you into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, and I says, furthermore, I don't believe you're going to have a ministry very long. When was the last time you ever saw Rex Humbard on television? You don't see him anymore. And the Lord took his wife. And only God and Rex knows what's happening with him. But I don't think he's... I saw him just a few days ago, and they were trying to exalt him again, but nobody's buying it, because nobody buys it anymore, because we got the truth out about the gospel. And now people know the truth. And when he says, "Yeah, you can get in any other way," in other ways, he's taken on that Antichrist doctrine that you can get in to the kingdom of heaven, and we should be tolerant to all these other false religions. Amen?
Amen.
And he's 100% for the Pope, and so is Jan and Paul Crouch, and the guy that has the Crystal Cathedral, and many of these people, they're 100% for the Pope and for the Vatican. Their ministries will not last long. They go for a while. And then Susie told me that this Tammy and Faye Baker and her husband, she says, "Just Tony, one of these days," and this was before she died, that you're going to see that those people are going to cause such shame, and they're going to go down the drain. God's going to destroy them. And then you find out that they were homosexuals and lesbians, and now they're committing fornication and adultery on each other. You can't do that, all right, and be a Christian. And I don't care if he has a work going over at Branson, Missouri. He's down the tubes. God is not going to exalt him anymore. If people want to follow after some false thing like that, well, then go ahead. But this place, you know, God doesn't have many places here on earth. But this is one that he does have, all right? You can go to thousands of other churches, but this is where you'll hear the truth. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 13. Ben-Geber and Ramoth-Gilead, including the town of Jair, named for Jair, son of Manasseh, in Gilead, and in the Argob region of Bashan, including 60 great fortified cities with gates barred with bronze. Verse 14. Ahinadab, son of Iddo, in Mahanaim. Verse 15. Ahimaaz in Naphtali. He was married to Bashmath, daughter of Solomon, he was married to Basmath, another of Solomon's daughters. Verse 16, Baana, son of Hushai, in Asher and in Eloth. Verse 17, Jehoshaphat, son of Peruah, in Issachar. Verse 18, Shimei, son of Elah, in Benjamin. Verse 19, Geber, son of Uri, in the land of Gilead, including the territories of King Sihon of the Amorites, and King Og of Bashan. And there was one governor over the land of Judah.
Okay, now these are all people that could be trusted. Now, why should God keep a ministry for Rex Humbard or Oral Roberts when they are so contrary to the Word of God? Oral Roberts claims to be a healer. You know that God heals people through them. Then why did he open a big hospital? Amen? And had a bunch of homosexual doctors over there and everything else. And the doctrine that he preaches is so false that you can understand very well why they don't really have a work anymore. The same thing with this, what's his name in Baton Rouge?
Jimmy Swaggart.
We went there. I went there to visit him to bring a message to him. And the place is taken. It's all the buildings over there are rented out to secular businesses. And one of the buildings is rented out to the sheriff department over there. Yeah, we saw his car there, but he wouldn't come out. He says, send the message out that I'm not here. Because I've reproved and rebuked him down through the years. But he still has old radio programs going on, and it sounds like, you know, that he's still going. But you cannot do a work for God and let think that you're going to bring false doctrine or keep the gospel away from the people in the world. There's no way that you can do it, or to be teaching them wrong things. God will destroy your ministry. That'll be it. And that ministry is down the tubes. Some of you were there with me. Were you there with me that time? Who was?
I was.
Come here, who was?
Angel.
Come here a minute. Were you there? Who?
Yeah, I was there. The parking, even his parking lot was all overgrown with weeds and all dilapidated. The grounds were horrible. And yet people there said, oh yeah, Jimmy Swaggart's here. His car's right there. And they could see his car, but he would not come out.
See me, that's very unhospitable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then what?
And you could tell that for sure he was there because his car was right there with his name on it. And there was just like some guy stacking up a pile of like weeds or something that he just had there, laying there, and there was like a few people just walking
around.
But
did you notice some of the organizations that he had those buildings rented out to? Who were they?
One of them, a good portion of his parking lot was all to those emergency medical ambulance type vans. He had a whole bunch of those, a whole bunch of government workers, and another. They were all sectioned off. None of them were the church.
Well, if you come over to my church, you won't see anything rented to anybody. Amen?
Amen.
We don't rent to anybody else. And you'll see that this church is expanding all over the world.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, that's the difference. And so if anyone in this church or anyone in the world thinks that they can change my policy and my position with the Lord, God said that I'm strong, and he's proving it. He's proving it. Amen?
Amen.
Because when you have the Lord and you just stick with what he says, then you're strong. If you don't, he'll take you to pieces. He'll tear you to shreds. Humbard doesn't have a ministry. Swaggart doesn't have a ministry. And any time you hear them bragging about all the Mickey Mouse radio stations, these coffee pot radio stations that you're on, you know there's something wrong. It says, we're on radio KNFS and this radio and that radio, and they keep saying all the radio stations that's wrong to make it look like they're still big. But go over to their facilities there in Baton Rouge, and you'll see where they're at. The place is totally unkept, and it's rented out to others. Okay, then what else? It's like taken over by cormorants and bitterns and everything. A man believes in false doctrine. He's so false, it's unbelievable. He believes once saved, always saved. But thank God for the literature that God has given me, because the people in the world know better than that, and they've all forsaken him now. Because we show you the true scriptures that you cannot do these things. Humbard's down. Oral Roberts is down. You don't see them on television anymore. Unless somebody invites them on their program. And those that invite them on won't be around long either. And Swaggart is down and gone. Okay, then what? And hundreds and thousands of others. They can't even buy a piece of chicken to eat. Okay? And what else?
God gave Solomon great wisdom and understanding and knowledge too vast to be measured. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. The prosperity and wisdom of Solomon. Verse 20. The people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore, bracket, which means that there were just so many of them that you couldn't count them. It's just a metaphor, and bracket.
Well, it is a metaphor, not just a metaphor. It is a metaphor. Then what?
They were very contented with plenty to eat and drink. Verse 21. King Solomon ruled all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River to the land of the Philistines, as far south as the border of Egypt. The conquered peoples of those lands sent tribute money to Solomon, tax money, and continued to serve him throughout his lifetime.
Right. And during that time, he was being blessed by the Lord. When the doctrine that we're putting out, the Catholics say that I tore their church in half. And this was over 10 years ago, and I'm sure it's less than that now. Most of the people you talk to, they say, well, they consider themselves Catholics, but they're jack Catholics. They don't really believe in all the garbage that they preach and things like that. And I'd say, well, then why don't you just get saved? And then they do. So there's a lot of real nice people in the Catholic cult, but they need to be saved, amen? And
yeah.
Come out of there. Then what?
Verse 22. The daily food requirements for Solomon's house were 150 bushels of choice flour.
150 bushels a day of flour. You know what a bushel is? You ever see a bushel basket? It's big. Then what else?
And 300 bushels of meal. Verse 23. 10 oxen from the fattening pens, 20 pasture-fed cattle, bracket, that's 30 animals right there, and bracket, 100 sheep or goats, as well
100
as
sheep. Can you imagine all this going on the table tonight? Amen? Makes us look like pikers, huh? We might have two or three chickens, you know. All right, praise the Lord.
As well,
of course, we serve meals all over the country and all over the world, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm just talking about our house here. Then what else?
As well as deer, gazelles, roebucks, and choice fowl. Verse 24. Solomon's dominion extended over all kingdoms west of the Euphrates River, from Tipsa to Azza, and there was peace throughout the entire land. Verse 25. Throughout the lifetime of Solomon, all of Judah and Israel lived in peace and safety. And from Dan to Beersheba, each family had its own home and garden. Verse 26. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for his chariot horses and 12,000 horses.
See, they're blessed. Now, I'm not saying these things about these preachers of falsehood to malign them. They themselves say all this false doctrine openly. And so, therefore, it's I hope they don't mind me telling what their doctrine is and that they're ruined because they're down the drain. It just happens to be a fact, and I'm not against them, and I don't like the idea that this is what's happening. And hopefully, this message here gets to them so that they'll repent and start serving the Lord, and maybe the Lord will restore them back again. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm not against, I don't want to see anybody go to hell, and I sure I'm not gloating about it. I just feel bad about it, because they've thrown so many souls. Forget about them, the souls that they've destroyed. Okay, then what?
Verse 27. The district governors faithfully provided food for King Solomon and his court, each during his assigned month. Verse 28, they also brought the necessary barley and straw for the royal horses in the stables. Verse 29, God gave Solomon great wisdom and understanding and knowledge, too vast to be measured. Verse 30, in fact, his wisdom exceeded that of all the wise men of the East and the wise men of Egypt. Verse 31, he was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Calcol, and Darda, sons of Mahol. His fame spread throughout all the surrounding nations. Verse 32. He composed some 3,000 proverbs and wrote 1,005 songs. verse 33. He could speak with authority about all kinds of plants, from the great cedar of Lebanon to the tiny hyssop that grows from cracks in a wall. He could also speak about animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. Verse 34. And kings from every nation sent their ambassadors to listen to the wisdom of Solomon.
All right. That was the 34th verse of chapter 4, 1 Kings, and it was the translation, and now we have commentary.
Going back to chapter 4, verses 29 through 30, shows how God granted Solomon wisdom, the fear of the Lord. Solomon's wisdom exceeded that of all the wise men of the East. The fame of his wisdom became so widespread that rulers came from all over the world to meet him and listen to him. How had Solomon achieved such esteem? The scriptures tell us plainly that the Lord had given him this wisdom. The Lord grants discernment to all who long to please him. See James chapter 1, verse 5. He establishes them to see life from a higher perspective and helps them to make good choices. Wisdom is the gift of a loving God without whom there is no true wisdom. Wise and eternal Father, you grant wisdom to everyone who genuinely desires it from you. Enlighten our mind regarding your unchanging character and enrich our understanding of your word, because you are the word and the word is you, and you want the word to be in us. You want the word to abide in us and us to abide in the word. Guide our thoughts to lead us toward you and fill us with the mind of Christ. Amen. If any church or work of God wants to branch out over the entire kingdom, which first would have to be the local area where you're at, then the state where you're at, and then in several areas of the cities, the towns and the states, then the whole United States, and then different places in the world, in that event, you'd have to have an organization that is well oiled. Chapter 4, verse 1 is talking about where Solomon was well organized. If people don't organize their life or organize themselves first, it's impossible for you to organize a church or a work of God.
Right, and if a pastor wants to get things organized and people refuse, then it's impossible to do anything with them. It's like trying to beat a dead horse. It's not going to get up and work, and you might as well just reject them. That's all. They may feel sad about it, but that's on them. All right, so we can't wait for people to decide to serve the Lord. We have to get people that are willing to serve the Lord now, because now is the acceptable time to do the work for the Lord and to receive what he says. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Lord says. Okay, then what?
He had 11 officials, and they all had specific jobs or responsibilities. He had 12 deputies, and we need at least 12 deputies. People that you can trust, and a manager in charge of the district officers. Each person had a specific responsibility or territory, and that's what we have to have if we're going to branch out and really be something great for the Lord.
Right, but if you've got a bunch of people in the church that say, it's not my job, well, yeah, I saw that he was doing wrong, but I didn't do anything about it. I don't, you know, it's not my job. Your job is to see that everything is done properly for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And if, of course, you don't know how to handle it, you're supposed to call the authority, the one that is employed by God to take charge of everything in the church, and not to talk about it to the employees. All right? Then what else?
So each one of them had specific responsibilities or territories to manage. That is under the command of Solomon. They were not to do anything unless Solomon told them. But if they were familiar with the duties, they had the ability to do it without asking him a lot of things. But on all important issues, they had to report to Solomon.
Right, something out of the ordinary, something unusual. Like if something breaks at a church and they just let it lay there, or a dishwasher breaks down and no one mentions it for a couple of weeks, and it's a brand new dishwasher. I mean, this is unconscionable, unforgivable, for to let things fall through itself. Then what else?
And on every detail, they had to report to Solomon.
Or if automobiles break down, and buses, trucks, and no one says anything about it, they just let them lie. It's horrible. or if people in the office, they see things that are, need to be reported, and they just say, well, I've decided not to do that. I do a certain thing, and that's what I do, and I'm not going to do anything else. That person is as worthless as you can get. Amen?
Amen.
And they might do a little something, but they're not willing to take care of the house of the Lord or people's souls. There's no mercy in them. All right, then what?
Organization such as this is absolutely essential to maintain. Every person who is put in charge has to have the ability to make sure that he is able to be responsible for an entire territory to manage. If they don't report, they're not management material. And if they don't communicate, there's no possible way that they could ever be a manager or a deputy in charge of district offices.
Right, there's no way, you know, you could send them to Africa or India or any place like that, especially those that are puffed up. We got a problem with one of the people that went to India last time, and we can't send them there because the person just got a report on them the other day. They get so puffed up and think they're somebody that they're not. And this person is infuriated whenever you mention it. But I don't, you know, just, I can't be party to destroying their soul by giving them something that they're not mentally capable to handle. They're not capable to handle it without falling. Okay, then what else?
They could never be a...
In other words, some people will always be dishwashers and, you know, be called to clean up the kitchen. Not that they're saying, that's where I started out. I had to take care of cleaning up all the rooms in a motel and the bathtubs and the sinks and change the sheets and pillowcases and make sure everything goes to the laundry. Plus, I was the desk clerk. I was running a wedding chapel at the same time in Las Vegas when I first got saved. And I was the repairman. I was fixing the air because the swamp coolers, we didn't have air conditioners. And all sorts of things like that. And so I knew, you know, that I had to go through it. And when I did, the Lord advanced me to where I am now. But it took a period of 40 some years to get to the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that I have today. And for me to hear some little 20-year-old or 25 or 30-year-old persons, I've been saved longer than they've been alive, and I've been doing a work for the Lord, and a good work for the Lord, for almost 41 years now. And it's just like that's just preposterous that somebody would try to override somebody like myself that God has put in charge, especially little 16 and 17-year-olds. They've got their own mind made up, or 14-year-olders. You just can't, they can't, you can't suffer those type of things in the church. You have to restrict them, and you have to punish them by taking privileges away and so on. And if they don't like it, well, there's the door. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm just looking out for their best interests. That's all. Just trying to get them into heaven. They don't like it, well, there's always, you can go and run your life somewhere else, but you're not going to run it that way here. All right, then what?
They could never be a district officer. So each person...
They can't be anything, really, amen? A district manager, a regional manager, a divisional director, a district manager, or a manager, or an assistant manager. They can't be an assistant... Airwick adjuster in a herring factory. If you ever seen Airwicks before, have you ever seen those?
No.
Well, they're little bottles of green chlorophyll, and they have a wick on them, and every so often you have to adjust the wick because the scent that it lets off, it dries up, and so you have to put more of the wick out. That's a very important job to some people. Some people, that's all they're capable of. And would probably even be negligent at something so insignificant as that, okay? Or it's in today's terms, these little spray bottles of air freshener. the assistant director of, you know, there's the manager that squirts the air freshener out, and then you'd be the assistant to that person. You couldn't even do that. Amen?
Amen.
Or be the assistant to the assistant. All right? Because you're not faithful enough to keep the air fresh. All right, then what? I mean, we're just trying to say a little humor here, but it doesn't seem like much people are going for that. Perhaps I just went over their head. Okay, then what else?
So each person has a specific responsibility or territory to manage. This organization was absolutely and still is very essential to maintain the government's effectiveness, the government of the Lord here on earth. That's what he wants to do, is establish a government, his will here on earth. So it was a wise move by a very wise man. And if we're going to be wise like Solomon, you have to submit yourself under the rule that God has given to me. And if you don't, you're not a wise man. I know what to do, and I've proven that because I speak to the Lord. Solomon had to do away with a lot of the people in his organization that wanted to do things their way rather than the way the Lord wanted Solomon to do it. It is good stewardship to be well organized, but if your people will not cooperate with you to have a good and well organized work of God or good organization, then there's no possible way to have one. Good organization helps good people work together in harmony and ensures that the desired goal of the Lord will be reached. People came from far and wide to see the wisdom of Solomon and how well organized his people were. But there is just nothing but bad comments if everything is not organized according to the way the Lord wants it done. Chapter 4, verse 20 through 25. Through most of Solomon's reign, Solomon applied his wisdom in a godly manner. Because he sought for God's pleasure and he prayed to God, he sought God for instruction. The fruits of his wisdom were peace, security, and prosperity for the nation. Solomon's era is often looked upon as the ideal of what any nation can become when united in trust and in obedience to God. Being obedient to God is being obedient to those that God has called to rule. It's obvious that God called Solomon to rule the entire country. So Solomon's kingdom spread from the Euphrates River in the north of the borders of Egypt. The entire land was at peace under his rule because he had good manpower. You can't grow as much as the Lord would like you to grow if you don't have good manpower. You have to hire people that are unsaved to do the work. But any wise ruler or leader will hire unsaved people to get the things that the Lord wants done, done. So wisdom is only effective when it is put into action.
Right. You'll see people in the Bible that God let David take a bunch of foreigners that were not really of the Lord, and he put them to work carrying water and chopping wood. Amen?
Amen.
So you can use unsaved people. You can't be involved in business with them, but you can sure use them. Amen?
Amen.
You hire them, you know. You definitely have to pay them. I hire a lot of people that are not saved. Okay, then what else?
I have the wisdom of the Lord, and I've tried to put it into action. But
I don't only try to put it in, I put it into action. Then what else?
But the people will not be active to this point, not in the manner that the Lord wants it completely done. Early in King Solomon's life, he had the sense, the wisdom, to recognize his need for wisdom. Most people don't. But by the time Solomon asked for wisdom to rule his kingdom, he had already started a habit that would make his wisdom ineffective for his own life. He sealed a pact with Egypt by marrying Pharaoh's daughter. We can't be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. She was the first of hundreds of...
We are commanded not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's a commandment, and if you break that commandment, then you're rebellious. And if you're rebellious, the Bible tells you that it's the same sin as being a witch. And the Bible says, suffer not a witch to live. Of course, we can't kill him, but the Lord will. And he's not going to suffer a witch to live, to have eternal life, to have eternal life. Then what?
She was the first of hundreds of wives that Solomon married, and he gave political reasons for it. In doing this, Solomon went against not only his father's last words, David's words were of the Lord, So Solomon went against God's direct commands to follow those that have the rule over you, which David did. His action reminds us how easy it is to know what is right and not do it. It is clear that God's gift of wisdom to Solomon did not mean that he couldn't make mistakes, because he did. He had been given great possibilities as the king of God's chosen people.
Right, there's a lot of people that have been given wisdom that exceeds that of Solomon's today, but they don't use the wisdom. And Solomon didn't use the wisdom that was given to him, not all the time. Okay, he knew better than to let a person chop a baby in half. All right. Another great wisdom, that he spoke of the things of this world and the way how to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but then he started doing things that he knew that were not of the Lord. And that's what you see a lot of people doing today. And a little leaven, a little sinning like that, a little rebellion, causes the entire soul to be destroyed, lost. Then what?
But with them came great responsibilities. Unfortunately, he tended to pursue the former and neglect the latter. While becoming famous as the builder of the temple and the palace, he became infamous as a leader who excessively taxed and worked his people. Visitors from distant lands came to admire his wise kingship, while his own people were gradually alienated from him. Little is mentioned in the Bible about the last decade of Solomon's reign. Ecclesiastes probably records his last reflections on life. In Ecclesiastes, we can read about a man proving through bitter experiences that finding meaning in life apart from God is a vain pursuit. Security and contentment are found only in a personal relationship with God. The contentment we found in opportunities and success of this life is only temporary. The more we expect our successes to be gratifying and permanent, the more quickly they are gone. We need to be sure to balance our pursuits of life's possibilities with reliable fulfillments of our responsibilities. The strengths and accomplishments of the king. One, as the third king of Israel, David's chosen heir, and two, the wisest man who ever lived. Three, the author of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, as well as a lot of the Proverbs and a few of the Psalms. Number four, he built God's temple in Jerusalem. Five, diplomat, a trader, a collector, a patron of the arts, and a wise ruler. Weaknesses and mistakes, if you want to call them mistakes, rather sins, which many people like to do. One, he sealed many foreign agreements by marrying pagan women. Two, he allowed his wives to affect his loyalty to God. Three, excessively taxed his people and drafted them into a labor and military force. Lessons from his life. 1. Effective leadership can be nullified by an ineffective personal life. 2. Solomon failed to obey God, but did not learn the lesson of repentance until late in life. 3. Knowing what actions are required of us means little without the will to choose. Knowing what actions are required of us means little without the will to do those actions. Vital statistics. Where? The place was Jerusalem. 2. His occupation. He was the king of Israel. 3. His relatives. His father was David. His mother Bathsheba. Brothers were Absalom, Adonijah. His sister Tamar. His son was Rehoboam. Key verses. Quote, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin regarding these things? Yet among the many nations there was no king like him, and he was loved by his God, and God made him king over Israel. Nevertheless, the foreign women caused even him to sin. Unquote. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 26. Solomon's story is told in 2 Samuel chapter 12.
Verse 12. See, we can learn right there from the mistakes that he made. Never let a woman, or if you're a godly woman, never let a man swerve you from the Lord. It's better to get them out of your life than to let them do that. Because you don't need anybody that's trying to sell you their philosophy on how to serve the Lord. If they have some kind of excuse, that excuses don't make it into the kingdom of heaven. The pit of hell is paved with people that had excuses. Amen?
Amen.
You just don't listen to some ungodly woman that thinks that they're somebody. Get rid of them. Put them out of your life. If they're trying to get you to go out and serve or to run the church according to their will, you cannot be involved with them. You're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. They don't believe that they need to be under subjection to authority or their husband. And that means that they're possessed with the devil. Okay, then what?
2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24 through 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 43. He is also mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and 29, 2 Chronicles chapters 1 through 10, Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 26, Psalm chapter 72, and Matthew chapter 6, verse 29 and 12, verse 42. 4, verse 32. The book of Proverbs records many of his 3,000 wise proverbs. Other biblical writings of Solomon include Psalm 72 and 127, the books of Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, and the Book of Wisdom. Solomon's wisdom was known throughout the world.
All right, that was chapter 4, 1 Kings, 34 verses, translation, commentary. And at the beginning of this tape, I prayed also that God would anoint part 7 of dealing with the Spirit, but we've run out of time, so I'm going to do that tape on another tape, that message on another tape. So until chapter 5, 1 Kings, and part 8 of dealing with the Spirit, this is Tony Alamo stating, remember the lessons that you learn and apply them. Meditate on them. Because a person that just knows what to do and doesn't do it, they're guilty of defying the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
They're guilty of witchcraft. The Lord tells you to obey those that have the rule of you and give double honor to those that rule well in the word, and you don't do that, then you're a witch. And there's no other way to slice it. And even if they say repeatedly, over and over again, well, I've repented, and they keep doing it now and then, off and on, that means they haven't repented. They've said, I've repented too many times. Amen?
Amen.
How many times can you repent? Repent means that you've died, that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you never need to repent again. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so remember these things, and until chapter 5, 1 Kings, and part 8 of dealing with the Spirit, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor. If I'm not, I want to be, saying praise the Lord, and God bless you.